Hello, loves. I'm your host, Christina Ray. I'm a life coach, breathwork facilitator, and entrepreneur with multiple conscious businesses. Through sharing my journey, I hope to inspire you and make life just a little bit easier for you to navigate. I believe through sharing and authenticity, we create space for others to feel safe, empowered to share, and to feel less alone. In this space, we talk about everything from realizations through spiritual awakenings to breakups to mindfulness. And I interview people from all over the world who are using their power for good so we can build all our power together. Let the journey begin. Hello, loves, and welcome back to the Power for Good podcast. I'm Christina Ray, and today I want to talk to you about Bali. I've been meaning to share my experience with Bali for a long time now, and I finally feel ready to dive into it. Last year, I took a solo trip to Bali, Indonesia for the first time in my life, and the experience changed me forever. I learned so many things. I had so many realizations. It was a spiritual awakening in itself, and it came at a very pivotal point in my life. And it's honestly taken me this long to really process and integrate all the things that came through from the spirit, from the lands, from the people of Bali. So I'm so excited to finally share with you about my Bali trip and the transformative experiences that I had there. I went on this trip last year, lost, confused, and looking for answers, really looking for myself. I had separated from my husband, but honestly, I didn't know what I was going to do next. Should I go through with the divorce, try again, run away, hide? I didn't know what I was going to do. And sometimes you just have to be okay with not knowing. And eventually the clarity comes in that space of not knowing. And that's what I did. But in that space, I decided to take this quest because Bali had been calling me for a long time. Sometimes I get this calling, and I think all of us do. We get a calling to go somewhere to do something. The question is, do we all listen to it or are we all capable? Obviously, I had the absolute privilege to go to Bali, and I am so, so grateful for that I was able to finally listen to this calling. And I took this quest and I went on a search for answers. I surrendered. I let go of needing to know what was next. And in doing so, I did receive the answers. And so it went. So why Bali? Why was Bali calling me? And why do I now think Bali is amazing? I want to just set the stage for you of this beautiful spiritual destination. Bali is a space unlike anywhere else I've ever been. It's the only Hindu majority island in Indonesia. So the island is, they practice Hinduism on this island that's very unique. There are sacred temples because of this everywhere. So it's home to thousands of temples, each with its own unique significance, honoring different gods, different goddesses. And they are absolutely stunning and beautiful and places of worship. So there's people just worshiping and praying every day. The people of Bali are just filled with so much joy and beauty, and they open their hearts and their homes, really. Each home in Bali, the way they live with their families and extended families, and each home has a temple. So they all pray together daily. Bali is filled with natural beauty and energy, and I got to experience some of that, which I'm going to go into. They have landscapes, beautiful, lush landscapes, rice terraces, mountains, beaches, all with beautiful sacred energy that you can literally feel as you walk these grounds. It's a perfect place for people to really go and connect with nature and have that spiritual awakening. And now it's become a real big destination for wellness retreats and yoga retreats. I actually planned the first week of my Bali trip to connect with a retreat. So I did a retreat called Goddess Retreats. It's all women's retreats, and it was really amazing. Just as a solo traveler, for me, one thing I love to do is to connect with other solo travelers or do a retreat right when I arrive in a new space, especially somewhere so far away, because that's the furthest that I've ever gone away from home and probably the most foreign land. And so it was really nice for me to arrive in that space where I felt safe, and they showed us around, they taught us about the culture and just pampered us. And I really needed that at that time, my healing. But Bali offers so much as far as like yoga retreats, wellness retreats, healing, because the land is in itself so sacred. So there's really no better place to have a retreat. I'm going to do a retreat there soon. I'll be hosting that eventually. That came through for sure. And I started my trip in Seminyak, which was more of a beach town, a little bit more of a party town, honestly. There was a lot of wild Australians there. I've never been around so many Australian people in my life. And that was really cool and interesting. A lot of them on spring break. But I actually enjoyed my time a little bit more in the next place I went to, which was Ubud, which is a little bit more of a cultural and spiritual hub located in the central part of the island. And it is also a hub for art, dance, and spiritual practices. And the town is surrounded by rice paddies and temples. It's so, so peaceful. And it's so, so charged with energy. And all of Bali really is just full of arts and culture. And particularly in Ubud, there was so much just art. You could walk the streets and there was different shops where there they had these wood carvings, these intricate wood carvings, and just everything was absolutely stunning and beautiful. And you could just immerse yourself in these cultural experiences and feel absolutely connected. And Balinese society is also really known for its acceptance of various of spiritual beliefs. So there's a lot of open-mindedness, and I could feel that and sense that from the people, and just a diverse mix of people there as well, all seeking spiritual connection. So it was really interesting to connect with other people on similar paths there through the retreat and outside of the retreat as well. And the combination of all of these elements makes Bali such a unique and compelling destination for people seeking spiritual growth, for people seeking answers, for people on the journey, on the healing journey. The island's spiritual ambiance with the nature and the cultural richness, it draws people from all over the world. And the energy of the space, of what people are doing there, of the nature, of the history, it creates this just absolutely beautiful, beautiful space. And it was exactly what I needed. When I arrived, I actually stopped. I did the full thing. So I took a flight from, where did I fly from? I took a flight from Miami to Qatar, and then in Qatar, I had a 4-hour layover. And then from Qatar to Seminyak to Bali. And the whole thing was about 25 hours. So that was a little bit brutal and probably the most flight that I've ever done, most flying. But upon arriving, I instantly just felt such a beautiful, beautiful energy. And I liked that I saw all these different people that were clearly there to do healing work, that were spiritual people. And so it was like, okay, this is interesting. This is my people's. I went straight to the goddess retreats where I really was just pampered, and they welcomed us, and the whole space was about healing and just being absolutely pampered. And it was actually very, comparatively to how retreats are here in the US, it was a very affordable retreat. During that retreat, you're able to choose what you want to do each day. And I think what I loved most about the retreat as well is that they taught us so much about Balinese culture that if I hadn't gone on the retreat, I would not have learned about Bali. And I love when I travel, I think as a conscious traveler, it's important to immerse yourself in the culture of the people where you're visiting and not just do all the touristy things, but actually learn about the place that you're in. So there's so many things that I learned while I was in Bali, but one thing that really stuck out to me that I felt really connected to was something that I learned from one of the priests. So we did several temple visits where the priest would lead us through and then lead us through a prayer and then teach us as well. So the priest in this instance taught us about moksha. And the definition of moksha is freedom from the eternal cycle of life, death, and rebirth. And this is the ultimate goal of an individual who practices Hinduism. So moksha is derived from the Sanskrit word mok, which means free. In Indian culture, the term moksha literally means freedom from samsara. So we got this bracelet, and I'm still wearing the bracelet actually that they gave us. I got two of them. And the bracelet has three colors. It's red, white, and black. And this represents their three creator gods. Red is Brahma, the white is Vishnu, and the black is Shiva and Shakti. And I felt a deep connection to Shiva and Shakti throughout my whole trip, especially after learning this. And Shiva Shakti is the destroyer and transformer. He's a creator god, but he is the god of destruction and transformation. The way that the priest shared this story with us is that each god is necessary for a certain cycle of creation, and it applies to your life. In order to create, there's certain times that you must maintain. And then there's certain times that you must destroy. And at that period of my life, I really felt like I had just destroyed everything and I was about to destroy even more. I was about to burn that shit down. So going into perhaps, you know, divorcing and leaving my home and leaving everything that I had built. So I realized, and actually the priest even told us, as sometimes you really have to lean into the destruction so that you can transform and lean and allow the destruction to come through, to just let it all fall apart. Because if you don't, then you can't create. And I think a lot of people get stuck in that space because they're so scared to let it all fall apart that they don't ever move forward. Because if you don't let it fall apart sometimes, then you never create the space for creation. Sometimes you need to lean into letting it all feel like shit, letting it all feel scary, letting it all feel unknown. And that feels like destruction. And then comes the next phase where you can rise again, like a phoenix from the ashes, where you can build, you can create. And that's that energy of Brahma with the creator energy. So for me, this was super powerful to learn about. And I felt a deep connection to Shiva. I ended up actually in that moment deciding that I wanted to get a Shiva tattoo. So I connected with a local tattoo shop and an artist, a local Balinese artist who was absolutely amazing. And I decided to get a Shiva tattoo on my arm. And something else that I learned about Shiva that the priest told us was that Shiva, without Shakti — Shakti is the feminine energy, and actually his wife — was Shiva without Shakti is called Shawa, which means dead. So in order to create, he actually need the feminine and the masculine energy together, the balance. And I don't even want to tell you how many healers I saw that told me that I was completely out of balance with my masculine and feminine energy, that I had too much masculine energy, which I have always felt. The Chinese medicine doctor told me I had not enough blood, which means that I have not enough feminine energy. I had another healer that told me I had too much masculine energy. And this is just too much pushing, too much trying, too much hustling, too much just showing up, and not enough flow, not enough letting go. So a lot of my work this past year has been really leaning into the feminine energy after this trip, realizing that I haven't allowed myself to really just be, to just let go, to let life move through me rather than forcing it to be. Part of that was the relationship I was in. It didn't allow the space for me to be in my feminine energy. And then part of it was my fault for just pushing so much. So I'm currently working on that still. And I have now, for those of you who are watching the video, you can see here my Shiva Shakti tattoo, which is half face Shiva, half the face of Shakti. And this was an absolutely beautiful moment that is going to obviously stay with me for the rest of my life on my arm as well, as a constant reminder, just like these bracelets that remain on my arm. Another spiritual experience that I had was we went to the healing waters of Pura Menggening, which was built in the 17th century and considered one of the most important temples in Bali. It was built to guard against evil spirits and to ensure good harvest. It's dedicated to the god of water and believe that the spring water at the temple has healing powers. I truly believe this because I felt the energy and I felt these healing powers move through me. So led by a Balinese priest, I put on the appropriate attire, I set my intentions, and I bathed in the water and I let these waters purify me. And it was one of the most beautiful moments of my life. We had this beautiful robe wrap thing that was orange and they helped us wrap it around us. And then we went into the waters led by the priest. And the first thing I had to do was basically dive my head face first into this waterfall thing. And then they told us that behind the waterfall was an empty space. There was also like, it's a rock waterfall. And then they said, push through the waterfall with your head and there's an empty space there where you can breathe. It was frightening because there was a rock back there. So you sort of had to just trust because you got to push your head through the waterfall, which you kind of have the feeling that maybe you're going to bang your head against the rock behind the water. But you have to just trust in the water, trust in the priest, trust in the moment. And then you can breathe, push through, and then you can breathe. And that's that space of letting go That's that space of trusting, which for me, letting go of the control and trusting has been hard. But I did it, and that was the first blessing. That was the first purification. I put my head through this very intense waterfall and water pounding on your head, push through, and you come out the other side and you can breathe, and you're just sitting there with the water then pouring on top of you, but you can breathe because there's this space in the back. It was so absolutely beautiful and so significant because it just reminded me again of life and how when we just let go and when we trust the flow of the universe, we can breathe. And the energy of this temple was incredibly potent. I honestly haven't felt anything like this before. It still gives me goosebumps. It was healing and transformative, and you can just sense the energy when you step into the water. So there that day, I decided that I would leave all of my doubts and uncertainties, and I would start to not only trust the universe again, but start to trust myself. My favorite and most transformative experience in Bali had to be at Mount Batur. Mount Batur is a volcano that you can hike. And most people hike this volcano early so that they can watch the sunrise, which is what we did. And this was my favorite moment of the trip and something I will never forget. We woke up at 1 a.m. and we drove 2.5 hours to Mount Batur, this active volcano, where we began our trek up the mountain. At 3 a.m. we started walking. And it takes about 2 hours to walk up the mountain. And it's dark. And we had little lights on our head and peaceful though. And there's other people there climbing as well. And I climbed with my new friends. And in that moment, I was again reminded of the importance of sisterhood as well, because some of us were struggling. We were helping each other, supporting each other. But with each step, I took deep breaths and I connected to the powerful energy of this healing mountain. I felt such a powerful energy moving through my feet with every step and so much just charge. And once we reached the top, it was, I honestly just don't even have words for the beauty and the energy that was moving through me as I saw the sun begin to peak. We sat there above the clouds as the sun began to rise in complete awe. The first streaks of orange and red appeared, and my heart, it filled with love. It opened, it expanded. With gratitude for life, for earth, for nature, for presence. In that moment, surrounded by my new sisters, all seeking truth, all on a quest, just like me. And we felt this unity of consciousness with each other, the sun, the mountain, the earth, the volcano. And in that moment, I was reminded of my purpose here. To continue to live fully, to share my life, my message, my gifts, to help people, to help the planet, to raise the vibration however I can, just by being me, authentic, genuinely just showing up as me. As the sun came up, I felt a sense of just weightlessness. It washed over my whole body. And in that moment, I realized a new chapter in my life was beginning. And I was ready. That was the moment I decided that I was 100% going through with the divorce. I knew that it wasn't going to be easy. I knew that it was going to be painful. I knew that I was going to be lost again. But this was my new chapter. This feeling, this moment, this liberation. I am so grateful for that moment and for all of these experiences that I had in Bali, for nature, for this opportunity. And another thing that really, really inspired me was the people of Bali, the interactions with the locals and just their open-heartedness. The difference is in Bali, you greet people with a bow, you look in each other's eyes and you smile. And there's just so much joy. When you go to Bali, it's important to know how to say hello politely. In Balinese, you say Om Swastiastu. Don't judge my pronunciation, but Om Swastiastu. This phrase is more than just a hello. Om is a special sound that represents the universe and everything in it. It brings positive energy and blessings. Swastiastu means well-being and good fortune. So when you say Om Swastiastu, you're not just greeting someone, but you're also wishing them happiness and prosperity. And I think that's just indicative of the people of Bali, because that's really the energy that they're bringing to the table, that they're sharing with you. Not just greeting you, but sharing with you. And as I mentioned, they live in these family units and they all help each other. They eat together, they take care of their elderly, and they pray together on a daily basis. We learned a lot about their practices and their prayers, and even how to put together this little flower arrangement that they offer to the gods on a daily basis. And what they do is they pick local flowers, different colors. They put it together in this thing made out of banana leaves. Then they put an incense on it, and then they go to their local temple, and then they offer it to the gods, goddesses, as well as making their offering and their wishes. This is something that they do together every single day, and then in their holidays as well. They shared with us that you can do this at home too. Pick from your local space, create a little altar, create a little offering to your guides, to your ancestors, to your God, to the universe, to whatever it is. But it's this moment of intention and this moment of appreciation that so many of us just don't do. And the way that they live in these houses and share with each other as well, it's something that is so beautiful about the culture that I think it is really sad and missing from our culture here in Western society in the United States, because we just are so separated from our families and we don't take care of our elderly as much. And there's just such a disconnection, that to feel that unity and that connection was just so absolutely beautiful. And I was so grateful every time that I met another person and they just smiled at me and shared with me. So thank you to the people of Bali. Thank you to Bali for opening its heart to me. It was a journey. It was a wild ride. And I came back with the answers that I needed. It definitely took some time to prepare for this trip. So if you're planning to go to Bali, to go anywhere in that area, you need to get your visa. You need to go online to see all the requirements. And while I was entering, actually, I had prepared everything. I did all the research, prepared everything ahead of time, and got like my visa and everything correct. And then after waiting in this long line to get in, I showed the lady my visa, and she made up some strange excuse about why my visa wasn't working and I needed to pay more. And then she said she didn't take credit card, and so I had to pay her in cash. And if I paid in cash, then that was okay. I didn't have to go into the back line again. So that was a little interesting. I think that the takeaway from that is just to be prepared. You know, this is a different foreign country, and I think there are definitely people that will try to take advantage and mess with you a little bit. But luckily, you know, it was something that wasn't crazy. So I just decided to deal with it, pay and come through. But I think when you're traveling in foreign country, you just have to be very adaptable, be prepared, put a smile on. There was a lady in front of me that they said something about her visa and she freaked out. She started screaming, and then the police came over, and there's just no reason to react in that way. I don't know what she had been through, and I send her all the blessings, but I think that especially when you're traveling in a foreign country, you just need to be prepared that there's going to be delays. There's going to be long lines. There's going to be people who don't understand you. There's going to be people who try to take advantage. You might end up having to pay a little more here, or you might end up saving money over here. It's just, it all comes back in the end. It's all part of the karma of their karma, your karma. And you have to just go with the flow and smile and just enjoy, because that's part of the journey. Be as prepared as you can, but know that there's always going to be unexpected things that are going to be happening. So that was my trip to Bali. I do want to share as well some of my favorite healers, moments with the healers, because I would highly recommend that if you go to Bali, you connect with some healers. I did a healing with a traditional Balinese healer. He was moving energy through and he gave me some really, really good insights. I also did some work with a Chinese medicine doctor and ended up getting some herbs from her. And she's the one that told me that I had not enough blood and I had too much wind moving through my body, which was really interesting. And that actually has to do with like the seizures and the epilepsy that I have. And so she knew a lot from just actually checking my blood pressure, looking at my tongue. And it's really interesting to see these Eastern ways of taking care of ourselves and Eastern medicine compared to how we heal here in the United States. I would highly recommend connecting with different healers. There's all sorts of different types of healers there. It's just a very powerful space to heal. And lastly, I can't end this podcast without mentioning the delicious food and the spicy, spicy peppers that I had with every meal. My stomach was not happy, but I was happy. And so I dealt with it because I love spicy food. That spice was on another level. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. The food was so fresh, so absolutely just delicious. I love Indonesian food and it was such a blessing to be able to eat those spicy peppers. So I'd highly recommend trying out the spicy food. But this trip came at a very important time for me. It was very important for me to travel alone. I think that whether you're in a relationship, you're married, you're separated, wherever you are in life, if you can, if you have the opportunity, travel alone. Travel alone, explore. This is one of the best ways to get to know yourself, to get answers in your life, to connect to your purpose, and to discover new things, make new relationships. It pushes you into discomfort, and that pushes you to grow. Travel to a foreign land, connect to yourself and see what's calling you, and don't question it. Follow it, work towards it. And then once you get there, learn about the land, the people, the culture, the practices. I can't even share with you all of the amazing things that I learned there. I'm still digesting it. This is just a little bit of all of the realizations and some of the practices that I learned from there. But I am still, you know, with this Shiva tattoo on my arm, every day I connect it to the Shiva energy in my meditations, in my breath work. Every day I connect to the different prayers that they taught us. I have these bracelets on me with every day as a reminder of the healing and the answers that came through on that trip to Bali and the new parts of myself that I discovered. So you can always bring it home with you. It's part of the experience, then it never leaves you. If you've traveled anywhere amazing, had any spiritual awakenings on your travels, I would love to hear about it. Share it with me, DM me on my Instagram, Christina Ray Almeida. Thank you so much for joining me in this chat, this transformative journey that I took through Bali, joining me in all these lessons learned. And if you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share, and connect. And if you'd like to come on the podcast, I now have the listener spotlight happening. So I'm connecting with listeners, hearing their stories, their awakenings, their transformations. I would love to hear yours. So send me a DM on Instagram, linked below. Sending Bali energy to you today and sending you love.